From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
This is Dale Carter's America, and this week, a lot of changes here. First of all, it's going to be audio only because Kurt Wheeler got some very exciting news, which we'll get to in just a second. So we have a guest hostess with us, Tracy Moss. If you've ever gotten a prize at KFKF, she's the face that you saw there in the lobby. She is my personal Lucy, so I'm not putting a nickel in the cup today, Tracy, but I am going to treat you because all guests on Dale Carter's America get lunch at Q39.
Well, that's a little bit better than a nickel, I'm going to be honest.
So you will get that going for you.
That's sweet.
So we'll have lunch after the fact here. Our podcast, Dale Carter's America, is brought to you in part by my favorite State Farm agent, Bob Watson. I've been with him for nearly 30 years. I should say he's been with me nearly 30 years. It's a great time to take a look at what your insurance rates are and get a quote. State Farm is an awesome company. You see their commercials all the time, and they've got teams of people. And the best team in the Kansas City area serving both sides of state line is Bob Watson, serving Missouri and Kansas from his office at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance, he does it all. He's a terrific guy. That's Bob Watson at State Farm. Now, usually we go into all the ways that you can be part of Dale Carter's America. Kurt goes through the whole litany, like, you know, Rumble and also YouTube and all that. But no video today, just audio.
Sorry.
It's not your fault.
What?
It's Kurt's fault. It's Kurt's fault and his wife, Alicia, because they had the temerity to actually have a child. So congratulations to Kurt and Alicia. They have welcomed their bouncing baby boy, Noah Dimitri Wheeler, into the world. Mom and baby are doing fantastic.
He is adorable.
He is.
That picture, he's like perfect.
So if you listen to our podcast and you're going, man, that Kurt's out there, now he's a father.
Yeah.
So good luck. I'm sure it's going to be just fine. Good news in the economy. We'll start there. The Fed signaling rate cuts by summer. And I don't know, Tracy, you know, you and I talk finances once in a while. The stock market has taken off as a result of that. That's very good news.
It's very good news. I'm excited because maybe my retirement can bounce back from what happened a couple years ago.
Yeah. And you know, common sense prevails here, and you've got a lot of common sense, which is why I like talking to you and bouncing stuff off of you. Some people don't have a lot of common sense, and they've run up a lot of debt because they see America doing it as we're approaching $34 trillion in debt.
Just a couple dimes.
Yeah. And now, you know, we have the highest credit card debt we've ever had in the history of this country.
It's out of control.
It is out of control. And at some point, it's going to come due. But there are people out there saying, hey, you know, if it's good enough for the government, it's good enough for me.
Right.
So I'm going to go out there and do it myself. Don't do that. You know, I was talking to Kurt last week about this. And my philosophy on this that I have instilled in my own children is there's three things you ought to do in life. And that is find a job you love, which I check
agree.
That box. I love my job.
I do, too.
Yeah. Okay. So you check that box.
Yeah.
This is harder, though. Live on less than you make.
That is very hard, though.
Yeah. But if you can do it, you're golden.
Yeah.
You know, and I've tried to always do that as well. And then save for retirement earlier than you think you need to.
Right. Start that 401k. Like, if you get a job that offers that 401k, sign up as soon as you can.
Yeah. So if you do those three things, chances are you're not going to be one of those people who's staring at, you know, 30% credit card rates and all that, because the teaser rates are awesome. But when you get into the weeds, you see exactly what you're dealing with there. Our podcast is also brought to you by Medicare Simplified KC. And you can find them on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.net. You know, we just went through the Medicare open enrollment period. That's when everybody got a chance to evaluate what was going on. And now we're back to talking to people who are about to turn 65. Maybe you know somebody who's going to turn 65. You really want Kirk Dorris and Lori Hocker looking over the entire situation there. When you go into Medicare, you know it's a government program. So you know it's going to be complicated as We could actually say it because this is the podcast. Yeah. But we're doing it today in an actual on-air studio.
So and it kind of feels wrong.
I'm afraid that there might be a hot mic in here, so yeah, I'm not going to say it. But it is complicated. To navigate all those roads, you've got Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. In fact, you don't even have to go to them. They'll come to you, and they'll explain everything and find the right path for you. So if you're about to turn 65, just had a friend turn 65 on December 17th. If you need an in-home appointment, Kirk and Lori will take care of you that way as well. Find them on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Their office number is 816-701-6661. I feel like I got to say it twice because usually Kurt is strolling through the websites there on the video portion. 816-701-6661. We also thank our friends at Clay Como Shooters. They've got everything you need to exercise the Second Amendment. And you know what? If you've already got a firearm to protect you and your household, maybe you need training. In fact, I know you need training. Clay Como Shooters will get that done for you. You can come train with them at 69 Highway in Clay Como. It's right there between I-35 and 435. You can reach them on the phone at 452. 816-452-4867. On the web at claycomoshooters.com. And you know what? As we're recording this, you still got a little bit of time before Christmas. A firearm might make a perfect gift for someone who wants to protect their own home. Those folks will take care of you. They take care of us at Dale Carter's America, and they'll take care of you. Allegedly taking care of the country is Joe Biden. Joey. We have transitions on this show, Tracy. Yeah. We're going into one now. Joey B. and the race for the White House. Now, before we pick on Joey B. here a little bit, let's talk Republicans. Trump maintains a commanding national lead. Now, if you watch the polls, he's got a huge lead. But what will it mean if he doesn't win in either Iowa or New Hampshire? Those are the first two contests, Iowa caucuses, New Hampshire primary. Trump leads in Iowa. The latest poll I saw was 51% of the vote. So it's not that commanding lead he has nationwide. And now you've got Nikki Haley, who's been endorsed by Governor Sununu in New Hampshire. And she's also doing well in her home state of South Carolina, where she was an excellent governor. So will momentum mean anything, or is this Trump's nomination? Now, Kurt and I talk about this a lot.
Right.
Tracy, you're the guest here. And anything you say is fine, right? Even if you and I don't agree,
right,
we're still going to be friends at the end of the day. You know that.
I know that.
Yeah. So Kurt kind of likes Donald Trump, and I'm kind of like in the other camp. I really don't like him. Yeah. And I wish that somebody else would emerge and that the issues that we like to talk about, the policies that we talk about, reign supreme rather than the clown car show that Donald Trump's going to bring. But I have committed that if he gets the nomination, he's my guy because his policies are so much better than Biden policies. Where are you on this? Have you picked a candidate?
I'm the same way. I feel like Trump's going to get it. I mean, there's just so much momentum. But I really like Ron DeSantis. I've liked him for years. But and then Nikki Haley's kind of coming at him. I've been watching a little of her stuff.
Yeah. I was in Florida, like during COVID, and you know how locked down we were in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, you had the health department basically say you couldn't do anything.
Right.
And then I got off the plane in Florida and we went to a Walmart down there and there was a guy outside the Walmart, security guy, and he had a mask on. And I said, do I have to wear a mask to go in there? And he goes, if you want, you don't have to. And I'm like, my God, I'm in the United States of America.
And you have freedom.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis, I think, has done an incredible job, would make an incredible president, so I'm on board with you there. I kind of like Nikki Haley, too. We're just going to have to see what happens after these first two contests. And I wonder where Trump's base might be if, you know, he doesn't win Iowa. He didn't win Iowa when he won the presidency. He probably won't win in New Hampshire.
No, I don't think so.
And South Carolina. So he may come out of this with three losses in the primaries. What will that do to his base? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
But as a party, as the Republican Party, we can't go in this divided. You know, you can't be like, well, Trump doesn't get it, I'm going to vote over here. You know, we can't. We have to come together.
Yeah.
Because if we don't come together, we're not going to win the White House back.
Yeah. And Joe Biden said that if Trump weren't in this race, he probably wouldn't run for re-election. So that's where Joe Biden is right now. And meanwhile, going to the other side now. Joey B still stumbling all over himself. If Kurt were here and we had video clips to show you, we could show you some of this. You can go find it yourself, but I mean, just Google, you know, Joe Biden and Israel and videos, and you're going to see, you know,
it's awful
that we have American policy over here that Israel is our friend and we're going to defend them. You know, they're our ally. And you've got the president of the United States saying, you know, Israel's making all kinds of mistakes and, you know, Netanyahu, he's got to go and all that. And so here comes John Kirby. He's kind of like, you know, when you go to the circus, you know, they have the elephants, the real circus, not the Ringling Brothers thing that they did down at the T-Mobile Center because they got rid of all the clowns and all the animals. The Shrine Circus at Cable Dahmer, they did it right. So you got the elephant going by and they're crapping all over the place.
Right.
So you got the guy with the shovel.
The super
scooper. Yeah. That's John Kirby.
You
know,
it is.
John Kirby's going out there every day and saying, you know, what the president meant to say, because Joe Biden's old.
He needs a walker.
And when I say he's old, he's 81.
Yeah.
But he's an old 81.
Yeah, definitely.
You and I have been around people who are in their 80s who are sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Well, Joe's never been sharp as a tack.
He's never been. Well, yeah, you got to go back to the beginning there. He's never been sharp as a tack, but he definitely has something going on up there that's things aren't firing.
And what we talk about on the podcast is every day that you see Joe Biden in public, it's the best Joe Biden you're going to see for the rest of his life. He's going downhill fast.
Right.
So Zelensky was in town, and Zelensky wants a lot of money for Ukraine. There are a lot of folks out there, and I'm one of them. It's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
Billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine, while our southern border is leaking like a sieve, and Republicans in Congress are trying to tie that potential future funding to that. Biden says he doesn't want any of that, and he's in a presser with Zelensky, and he says, well, Zelensky will make the decision over here. And he goes, what am I saying? I can't even read the card. Trying to laugh it off there. But, man, our enemies are emboldened right now. It's like...
Well, they're not afraid of him.
No.
So you have to have a leader that the other countries are afraid of.
Yeah. Certainly, you know, like a Ronald Reagan, you know, heck, even a Bill Clinton, a George W. Bush, Barack Obama to an extent. Right. I mean, the world, you know, didn't feel like it could do whatever it wanted.
Right.
But now the world kind of feels like they can, you know, do whatever they want to do. Meanwhile, the House has passed an impeachment inquiry of the president. And I wanted to talk about that, of what it is and what it isn't. All it does is allow the House to continue to investigate all of this stuff. And I know that the other side is saying, you know, it's play number five in their five-play playbook.
Right.
Nothing to see here. If there's nothing to see there, there's nothing to see there. And we move on. But on our side, we look at it and it's like, this guy has never been anything but a backbench senator.
Right.
He was vice president for two terms, and now he's president. He's making more money legally than he's ever made in his life, which is $400,000 a year. Before that, it was like $175,000, maybe $200,000 as vice president. How did he amass all this wealth? Where did these millions of dollars and all these homes come from?
Yeah, I don't understand how he's been able to do so well for himself and on our dollar.
Yeah. I mean, the guy has never so much as run a hot dog stand before he got elected president of the United States. Senators don't really have any power. I mean, they're not running anything, and vice presidents certainly don't run anything.
Right.
We're seeing that now with Kamala Harris. But this guy, the first thing he actually ran was the country as president, and we see how that's working out. Meanwhile, and what it isn't, by the way, is it's not impeachment. It's not what the House did when Donald Trump was president, which was basically no investigation, no hearings, no trial. It's just they went to a vote. Do you remember the visuals that came out of that? Nancy Pelosi passing out $5,000 pens to everybody
to sign
document.
It.
And then they walked it across to the Senate chamber in a somber trail and all that, all the theatrics with that. Not what the House is doing. All they're doing is investigating it, and they'll either find something or they won't, and we'll move on. Meanwhile, his son, they finally have charged him with walking on almost $2 million in federal taxes.
Oh, really?
And the lawyer says the only reason they did that is because his last name is Biden.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, When you do your taxes and when I do my taxes, aren't you worried that you're going to get a comma in the wrong place?
Yes. Like I send, like before I hit send, I'm like, I go back and I go, okay, did I put my, you know, like I'm looking down to the penny. Did I put everything correct? Because, you know, I do TurboTax and it pops up if you're in the audit risk. I'm like, I always want to be down low because I'm afraid that they'll come back after me.
Well, and not only did they not go after him, they let some stuff go by statute of limitations. It's already gone. You know, you can't go after him on that stuff. So the stuff that is still available to prosecute adds up to almost $2 million. And he's like, why? You can't come after me. I mean, my name's Biden. Are you kidding me? You can't come after me. And then the House, they want him to testify. And so they subpoenaed him. Yeah. So if the House of Representatives subpoenas either you or me, and that probably won't happen.
I would die.
We better get our ass on a plane and get to D.C. for the hearing. What did Hunter Biden do? Well, he had his motorcade, which, by the way, none of them were EVs. They were all the high-powered Tahoes.
Yeah.
Right?
Gas guzzlers.
They dropped him off on the Senate side, not the House side. And he said, here I am. I'm here. I'm ready to talk. Well, you don't get to determine how the subpoena is executed. They wanted it done behind closed doors. Yeah. That's what happens. So he basically thumbed his nose at the subpoena. And then they ask Karine Jean-Pierre, who's one of our favorite people in the administration, KJP, and they ask her, you know, what the president thought about him flaunting that subpoena. And she, go look at this online. Just, again, this is another Google search for you. Go look for KJP and President Biden's reaction to Hunter flaunting the subpoena from the House of Representatives. She threads the needle really well because you got to be careful. Because if the president knew he was going to go to the Senate side and flaunt it like he did, that's something called obstruction of justice. Now, when you
he
go back...
He doesn't do that, does he?
Well, he's a Democrat, so he gets away with it. But if you go back to one of the things Donald Trump was impeached for was obstruction of justice. Right. So there's just, we talk about the two-tier system of justice in this country, and this is where it rears its ugly head. Because, you know, you've got them doing all of this, nah, that's okay, play number five, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. And then, you know, Trump makes a phone call over to Ukraine and says, hey, you know, there might be something here, you might want to investigate this guy. Remember at the time, Biden was not running.
Right.
And Trump's on the phone with the president of Ukraine. He's like, you might want to take a look at this. They impeached him over that.
I know.
They said, in this country, we don't lock up our opponents, our political opponents.
It doesn't, like, I don't understand how people think that. Like, it's, you meet people all the time that they want you to do right, but they don't want to do right. So it's kind of like how the Democrats have always been.
Yeah. So here we go. And we'll see where this all ends up. I'm not sure where it's going to end up. In my gut, I felt like Biden wasn't going to run.
I figured he would because he's not going to let go. He likes that power.
Four more years.
I know. I don't think he'll live four more years.
How old will he be by then? And really, I mean, will they 85? Need to have like a drool cup under him? Yeah. He doesn't know where to stand now, and it's just, it's embarrassing.
I mean, I really feel like he's got some form of dementia.
Yeah, and I've been through that in my family. Have you?
Same, yes, my dad.
My mom's dad and my dad's mom both had it. And, you know, I saw the end of that, and it's not pretty, and both of them were in their 80s.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm not a doctor, but just observing it from the outside, having gone through it myself, that's where it looks like it's headed. And the latest polls out on Joe Biden, every time we get a new poll on him, it's the lowest of his presidency. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. There's like a floor of about 25% who still think he's doing a hell of a job.
I haven't met one of those people. Have you?
Who are these people?
Yeah. I haven't found one.
Yeah. I did notice, by the way, this morning in Blue Springs, I'm not sure what you saw in Independence or anybody else listening, but our gas prices in Blue Springs jumped about 25 cents a gallon overnight.
Yeah, it went up to 269, I think, in Independence,
And it hadn't been down in the 240s.
Yeah.
So, again, we remind people that when gas prices go up, it's not Biden's fault.
Right.
It's Russia.
Exactly.
As he says, Russia, Russia, Russia. Okay, that's why gas prices have gone up. When they come down, as they did for a while, he's out front.
Oh, yeah. I did it. Look what I did.
Look what I did.
Got your caps.
I think I might have pooped my pants. So take that for whatever it's worth. But gas prices are going back up again just in time for Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
From Joey B. Anything else on this presidential election that you want to jump in with before we move on?
I don't think so. I'm just kind of playing the field, you know, just watching what they're saying. I'll be interesting to see how the Iowa caucus comes out.
It will, because that's first thing up. And again, Trump right now in that poll is about 51%.
Yeah. Iowa, you never know.
You really don't.
Yeah.
And then New Hampshire is going to be after that. South Carolina will be after that. And then we'll be on to Super Tuesday, and then it will really be on like Donkey Kong. So buckle in, folks. It's going to be fun as the race for the White House continues. How's the race for the pots or pans or whatever if your roof's leaking? You ever had a leaky roof?
You
got to have like this bucket over here and that over there and all that. You don't have to do that if you call my friends at Royal Roofing and Solar. Austin Watterson's got a fantastic company. They're a Cass County-based company, longtime friend of the program. And they'll come out. They'll take a look at your roof. They'll shoot you straight. They did the roof at my house. I hung on. It's interesting because I had one of those shake shingle roofs. The neighborhood I live in, that was the code. Was the Homeowners Association, right? HOA.
Yeah.
One of my least favorite things is people telling me what I have to do with this big investment I bought. But anyway, as my wife says, it's why we don't have orange houses in our neighborhood, because you got an HOA.
But if you're paying for the house, you know, pick the color you want.
So back in 2005, I had to replace my roof, and they still had shake shingle in the deal, so I did a shake shingle roof. And right after I did my roof, they took it out.
Of course they did.
Yeah. So when the shake shingles finally gave in and I was like patching it and doing this, doing that, Austin and his crew came in. They put a beautiful roof on my house. Now, take it a step further. If you're into the solar thing, now we're not going to live there long enough to recoup those costs. But if you are, if it's your forever house, maybe solar is the way to go, because electric bills keep going up.
Right.
Maybe your house could become its own power generator. Call them and get an assessment on that. 816-540-7057. 816-540-7057. Royal Roofing and Solar. Also want to tell you about Funhouse Pizza. You ever been to Funhouse Pizza?
I have.
Lee's Summit and Blue Springs. They're on 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, on 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Jim Dingman does a fine job making sure everybody has a great time. If you've got like a banquet you're going to do.
They have a really nice space to rent out. Yeah.
They really do.
And it's good pizza.
Great pizza.
Yeah.
Cold drinks. And they even have some fun video games for the teens. And they've got little rides for the little kids. It's going to be a great time for your family or your softball team, your football team, heck, even your soccer team.
Oh, yeah. You mean soccer?
Once in a while, we throw a bone to the
football?
Soccer. Yeah, football.
Football.
It's football. So, since we're going to talk about overseas, and again, Funhouse Pizza, 7 Highway in Blue Springs, 50 Highway in Lee Summit. Just fantastic folks there. I wanted to talk about a subject. Back in the 80s and 90s, we talked about unilateral disarmament. And that was the concept, the nuclear war, okay? Mm-hmm. If we would just get rid of all of our nukes, then the Soviets would get rid of all their nukes. Well, again, a lot of Democrats thought that'd be a good idea.
And that's on an honor system. How do we know they did it?
Republicans were like, are you kidding me? No. People like Ronald Reagan had concepts like peace through strength.
Right.
If we have a really strong military, the bad actors in the world will stay where they are.
Right.
So that was American policy for a long time. I'm not really sure where we are. But I tie this in to energy because President Biden and the Democrats are unilaterally disarming in the energy field. They are. I mean, you know, they keep putting more and more restrictions on gas and coal, natural gas, right? And they have this concept that we're going to be net zero carbon emissions by 2050, which is a pipe dream. I mean, if we do that, we might as well just say, okay, we're going to fold as an economy.
There's no way.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're shooting for. It's energy and COP28 in Dubai. First of all, I get a big kick out of this. You got John Kerry leading the American contingent, right? And all these other countries, there were 200 that signed on to this thing. So they all get on their giant planes, 200 countries, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And they fly to Dubai, right?
Spend all that money and fuel, yeah. all those emissions.
What was the lesson we learned out of COVID as far as how you can exist without meeting face to face?
Yeah. Take a little Zoom call.
Yeah. yeah. Why not a Zoom call? Yeah. Right? And if you really believe this, John Kerry, why didn't you get on a schooner, like a six-mast schooner, right? Yeah. From San Francisco and sail over to Dubai?
Would those make it over the ocean?
I have no idea.
Wouldn't it be a loss.
But you know, they're hypocrites. And that's one of the things when we put this podcast together that we want to sniff out and just blow out of the water. And that's hypocrisy. And John Kerry will look at you with a straight face and say, well, I'm a very important member of the government. I've got to fly on private planes to get where I want to go. Yeah.
So let's have a giant plane take one person across the ocean. Sounds very energy efficient.
I like the Zoom call better.
I think so.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear pants on Zoom calls.
And perhaps some of the Zoom calls I was on during COVID, maybe
yeah,
I wasn't wearing
I
pants. Or I could have been wearing what my wife refers to as my homeless sweats that I'm not allowed to leave the house in.
Some of those holy leggings at my house.
Yeah. So, and there's no viable replacement to this. Wind and solar, neither one are viable.
Right.
Do you remember not that long ago, we were relying on wind turbines mm-hmm. to fuel much of the Midwest during a big cold snap, and those wind turbines froze,
right.
and we had blackouts and brownouts.
Yeah.
And there's no need for it.
No.
This, you know, we talk about this all the time. This is self-inflicted, a self-inflicted wound. We are on top of a sea of oil
yes.
in the United States. We saw during the Trump administration that we were energy independent for a while.
I know. I don't know why we don't use our own resources instead of buying from other countries.
Yeah. So can you imagine a world where the United States was energy independent? Yeah. A two-track approach here. Now, I'm not going to get into it with a bunch of haters who say, oh, yeah, you just want gasoline. That's the only thing you got. Burn that coal. No, I'm saying get the scientists involved. Mm-hmm. Let's find a viable alternative. Viable being the key word here and reasonable being another word here. Let's find that other track. But meanwhile, let's use what we've got. And as we use what we have, guess what? Places like Saudi Arabia will not be important to us
right.
anymore.
They'll fold. Yeah.
You guys want to kill each other? Kill each other.
Go for it.
We don't care. We're going to bring our bases home. We just don't care. You know, the Middle East is important to us for only one reason, mm-hmm. and that's the oil.
Right.
And if you want to test that theory, think about Africa. There's a lot of crap going on in Africa, and nobody cares.
Right.
Never in the news. It's just happening over there, and nobody cares. So that's going on, and we continue to talk about that a little bit. By the way, the 200 countries who committed to net zero carbon emissions by 2050, there were three biggies who did not commit: China, India, and Indonesia. Three of the biggest countries in the world.
They don't care.
No.
Yeah.
China's going to keep. China likes, you guys go ahead and do that. Meanwhile, they're opening more coal plants.
Yeah.
More coal. For everyone we shutter, they're opening five.
And where does all of our stuff come from?
Are China.
China, India, Indonesia?
It's a global thing, right? Global warming, global climate change. Okay. So America says, we're going to drive around in electric cars and we're going to fold
stop
our
every 200 miles to take a rest because our car ran out of juice. I don't understand.
And China, India, and Indonesia are going to keep their economies rolling just fine. By the way, this ties into, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but somebody rammed one of the cars in Joey B's motorcade. They did. He was in Delaware, and he's you can see the video of him. He's walking out there. It didn't happen near him, but one of the cars. And because, again, the guy who tells us that we need to, be in an electric car and,
drives around in six gas guzzlers.
Six or eight,
yeah.
I, you know, I think you need to look at what a presidential motorcade looks like.
Well, that's true. They have all the police and everything.
Oh, yeah. They got everything in there. Yeah. And it's all gas powered. So, and that's a good thing. Think about this, because no hazmat crew was required. We had the guy from Max Motors on, Bob Jackaway. Yeah. Great guy. And I just wanted honest answers to questions I had about this whole EV thing because I'm not sold on it. And he said some things I hadn't thought of. He said, when these things start wrecking into each other, you're talking about a hazmat situation.
I didn't even think about that.
Those batteries are toxic. Yeah. So two of them hit each other and you've just got... You got all kinds of problems there. So the good news is that our president is a hypocrite.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good news here because all of his cars in the motorcade were gas-guzzling SUVs, so no hazmat crew was required. Although, here's the thing I'm waiting for. Have you heard the story about the kitchen fire that they had in Delaware?
I haven't.
They had a kitchen fire at their home in Delaware, and very minor thing. And they had to get a crew in there to fix all the damage, right. but then the Bidens moved back in. Every time he tells that story, it gets bigger.
It's his fishtail.
Oh, it's definitely his fishtail. Okay, so the last time I heard him tell it, his cat died. One of his family members had to be rushed to the hospital, and their house was not usable for, like, ever. So it grows and grows and grows with Joey. So I can't wait to hear.
Hear what this story's going to sound like.
Oh, man. Within 6 months, it's like.
It's going to be like the car barely missed him. He almost died.
He had to dive between two vehicles.
My security guard grabbed me and pulled me away.
Yeah. So we'll see how that continues to go. Then the other thing I wanted to tie into this, I'm a big fan of the Mitch Rapp series of books.
Right. Yeah, you've been reading those for a long time.
I have. Yeah. And I've kind of spot done them. It's like I've read that one. Okay, I'm going to go read that one.
Yeah.
Something that my wife has instilled in me is basically going back to the beginning of a series that I like and reading them in order.
Right.
And the book that I'm on right now, and it's interesting how the Mitch Rapp books are like right there on the cutting edge. The one I read just before this one was about a pandemic, about it being unleashed in the United States by terrorists in the Middle East. Gosh, and that was right before COVID.
So the current
book is about a guy who is an American who has figured out that if he can do like five or six things, he can cripple our electric grid.
Oh, no.
For a year. Yeah. All he needs is about 10 guys to come in and simultaneously take out like a half a dozen substations that are critical to our power grid. And he could shut us down for a year. So I haven't gotten to the end of it yet. We'll see how Mitch Rapp saves the day because I know he's going to. But it just tells you how vulnerable the situation is. Yeah. And if we lost power for a year.
Oh, my gosh.
The estimates are about 90% of Americans would die.
Absolutely. I mean,
think about that for a second. If the power's off, and we go through it all the time, right? That's why, you know, generators might be the way to go.
Yeah.
Again, the solar things that Royal Roofing and Solar can do for you. If your power goes off, you're probably okay, for a day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 days. I think we've had the ice storm.
Yeah.
I think we were out for 5 days at our house back in the early 2000s. So, yeah. But it's hard.
It is hard. You know, the first thing you want to do is, you know, keep your freezer closed. Right. Try and keep as much food there as possible. But restaurants, you know, a few days down the road, they're going to give away all their food because they have to, because it's going to go bad. Pumping stations for water are fueled by electricity. Yeah. Okay. Pumping stations for gasoline.
Fueled by electricity.
Think about everything that electricity touches. And then it's like, oh, it's okay. I'm going to drive my EV. Well, guess what? When you plug that thing in, what's fueling it?
Yeah. No power.
It's a grid mostly supported by coal in this country. So while I'm hopeful that science will take us to in another direction, honestly, we talk a lot on the podcast about nuclear.
Yeah.
And we haven't built a nuclear plant in this country since the 1970s.
Right.
Europe has a lot of nuclear plants. But some things like Three Mile Island still in the back of our mind. We don't want to have a disaster.
Right.
But we have them. We have one in Missouri that I drive by when I go back to Indiana. So it's here, and it does work, but it's not politically correct, I suppose.
But if something happened, you know, we might have to fire it back up.
Yeah. So just think about that, how the grid is and how vulnerable we are and what you might do, let's say, if you didn't have power for 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
I don't know what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, what would you eat? I mean, are we going to go out and hunt things?
I mean,
build fires?
I mean, think about it, though. How would you cook it? Because
you had to build a fire.
Yeah, most of your stoves are electric.
Yeah. So read that Mitch Rapp book. It's got the word power in it, and I think it came out about 2021, if I'm right in where my Mitch Rapp books are. And again, I know it's going to have a happy ending because all the Mitch Rapp books do, and I think this guy's probably going to die a horrible death.
Yeah, he's got the answer to what's going to happen. So if this does happen, we'll just open up the book and figure out how he fixed it. So
it's scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not going to happen. We're going to get some reasonableness and some sensibility into this thing and stop playing these political games. And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing. Joe made a deal with the devil to become president. He's got the far left tugging him along, and they don't think he's doing enough.
Yeah.
They'd like him to do even more. Well, I'm not sure how much more damage he could inflict into the country, but he's done a pretty good job of that. We shall see. And again, 2024 is going to be crucial. We want to thank, we have a joke around here that what the country needs is an enema, a giant enema. And the guy to help you out with that is our favorite doctor on the show, and that is Dr. Mark Terramina. He is with Midwest GI Health and Wellness. Now, Tracy, you and I have been friends for a long time.
One
of the most guarded secrets that you have, and I'm not going to ask you here.
Just a couple.
Is how old you are.
I'm old enough to know better.
Okay.
I'm over 40, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's good to know that, because the old line in the sand for getting your colonoscopy, have you had a colonoscopy?
I have not.
Okay. That's also a very personal question.
Yeah.
But the old line in the sand for that was 50.
Right.
It's like, if you're 50, you need to have your colonoscopy. Now, because of where colon cancer is going, it's getting younger and younger and younger. They've drawn that line now at 45.
Oh, no.
So.
I have to start prepping for that.
And prep is the key. That is the thing.
I remember I went through that with you. I think we were talked about that a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I got my colonoscopy and I got a clean bill of health. And that's what usually happens here.
Right.
But if you don't catch colon cancer early, it will kill you.
Right.
That's the bottom line. It will kill you. If you catch it early, there are a lot of options here. And Dr. Mark Terramina at Midwest GI Health and Wellness, they can take care of it all. They're in Lee's Summit. They're at 816-836-2200. Call them and schedule your appointment if you've not had your colonoscopy. They're online at MidwestGIHealth.com. What you're going to see is a complete staff there. They do it all in-house in Lee's Summit. They have 4.9 out of 5 stars on Google. That is the highest rating in the Kansas City area. They take care of the entire digestive tract, but obviously the big thing that we talk about is colonoscopies and 45. If you know somebody who's 45 or older, ask them the uncomfortable question. Have you had your colonoscopy? Because I care about you and I don't want you to die.
Don't want you to die.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking. Fun with City Politics is kind of one of our last segments here. And we've got a lot on the plate to talk about in terms of Kansas City and Jackson County, but I want to start in Boston, where the mayor there, Mayor Wu, is her name. Okay. W-U, Mayor Wu. She sent out a calendar invite for the Elected Officials of Color holiday party.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did. Apparently, it's a thing. They do it all the time.
Seriously?
Yep. Unfortunately, she also sent it to the white council members. In Boston. Now, a couple of things here. Thank God it wasn't a Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. That would be awful.
You can't do that. Yeah. When I moved to Kansas City in 1995 and took over KFKF, there was pushback from one person on the staff when I bought new Christmas jingles, and it was like, Merry Christmas, 94.1 KFKF. Yeah. He's like, my God, you can't say Merry Christmas.
Yes, you can.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why can't I say Merry Christmas? So, you know, that's politically incorrect. You might hurt somebody's feelings. So thank God it wasn't a Christmas party. Two, what if you turn the tables on this thing and there were a white elected official's Christmas party?
They'd all be fired.
Can you imagine?
They would, 100%.
The exploding heads that would go off on that? It's going to continue, I suppose. The Elected Officials of Color holiday party. So enjoy. Closer to home, Kansas City, Missouri City Council is considering local hate crimes legislation and penalties that would go along with that. So, you know, when we've talked about this before, Kurt has an interesting take on this. He's like, can you show me a love crime?
Right.
So not only is you've got crime, and we're going to set a new record in murders in Kansas City. Awful. I don't think there's any way around it. It happens almost every day. And it happens in a way that you don't hear about it. It's typically black-on-black crime.
Right.
Well, they don't care about that down
at
City
Hall.
You don't
ever hear that on the news.
No. No. And they don't want to prosecute anything along those lines. But, you know, if it's the right race that commits the crime, then you can throw it into the hate crimes bin. And I've never liked hate crime thing in legislation anyway, because what does that mean? If I kill you and you're white, okay, that's murder, and that's going to get me something, right? But if you're black and you can determine that in my mind,
it was because
I did
you
it
were
because
black.
You're black, well, then I get more years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they're considering that. We'll see where that goes. An audit at City Hall between April of 2021 and April of 2023 showed that nearly $2 million was incorrectly paid to former city employees. Where am I when that gets passed out? Really?
Well, and how did nobody say anything?
Well, I don't know. They had an audit. The city went, oh, we paid $2 million to people who used to work here. They've recovered $418,000 of it so far. Can you imagine getting that call? I know you used to work here.
And we paid you for the last 2 years, but you've got to return that.
We're going to need that money back.
Well, I worked at the bank before I worked here, and we would have people that come in, and they'd have a mystery deposit, and they're like, oh, well, it must be, you know, just my bonus. And it's like, well, you didn't initiate it. They'll take it back. And we would tell them, don't spend it, because if it's not your money, you aren't entitled to it. And then they would come back, and their account would be overdrawn because that company took that money back.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, but that was mine. They put it in my account.
Yeah.
It was an error. It's not yours.
It's not your money, so you got to be careful about stuff like that. And then, you know, one of the other issues that I've been working on, and I'm losing steam on it, and unfortunately, I think the people who were the naysayers on it may well have been correct, because it's tough to fight City Hall. But I tried to basically say, okay, I want to take Eastern Jackson County, set up my own county. We'll call it Truman County. Yeah. And the people that I've been working with on this, it's like, one in particular who I'm not going to name is not returning my text messages now.
No.
So that tells me that, okay, that's fine.
It's
so
over.
I'm going with my backup plan, which is when my stepson graduates from Blue Springs High School.
You're out of here.
I'm out of Jackson County.
Yeah.
It's just such a
We've
joke.
We've been talking about it. Yeah.
And the Missouri State Auditor, Scott Fitzpatrick, would agree if you feel that way. State Auditor's Office determined that the property assessments process did not comply with Missouri law, and that up to 200,000 Jackson County homeowners were victims in the assessment process. I know you were.
Yeah. I had to go down and fight it.
I think I was too, but I just, you know, I just look at it and throw
it away. 80%.
It's crazy.
80%.
The audit also revealed that Jackson County Assessment Department failed to properly notify owners of properties that a physical inspection is required by law. Remember, did they send you the door hanger that said, we need you to fill out all this stuff about what you've done in your house, or we're just going to estimate it?
I didn't see a thing.
Yeah, well, I got one, and I just threw it in the trash. I said, well, good luck.
Yeah, we didn't even get one, and they increased us by 80%.
Yeah. And then there's this. An ordinance outlining the ballot language for a 3/8 cent sales tax extension was not approved by the Jackson County Legislature. They're trying to get it on the April ballot. The sales tax extension would be used for the funding of a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to be a no on that as well.
No.
And that's where we do have power. Maybe I can't get us out of Jackson County to set up our own county, but what we can do is say no. No more funding, no more dollars.
No, why are we on the bill for this?
Yeah.
He wants it downtown, then pay for it.
Good luck.
Yeah, find some investors.
You voted probably the last time they had that use tax on the ballot. Did you vote?
Yeah, voted no.
I voted no too.
Yeah.
So if you look at the results from that election, though, And the use tax is something that we could debate and whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Personally, I think it is a good idea because what's happening is these internet companies like Amazon that you buy stuff from, they're not paying local taxes. Right. So it creates a disparity between the brick and mortar stores. Right. I voted no out of principle because I don't want to give these guys another damn dime.
Yeah. What are they doing for it?
Exactly. And I'm going to vote no on the Royals tax. And that's where we have some power. Because in that last election, Kansas City proper voted yes for the use tax. Mm-hmm. It was the overwhelming no's that came from Eastern Jackson County that basically killed it. So if that's our power, we might get to a point where Kansas City kicks us out.
Good. Let's go.
That happened in 1876. And I have that as the test case. In 1876... St. Louis City seceded from St. Louis County.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That's the last time there was a county change in the state of Missouri. And maybe I can't get a vote for us to form our own county. But what we might be able to do by voting no every time they ask for money is they might kick us out.
Well, going back on the stadium, I want to see the bill. Like, show us how much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
Don't just say, oh, well, you're only going to pay $1 billion. But it's written down, if we can't come up with the other $5 billion, you're on the hook for it.
Yeah.
We don't have $6 billion.
And where is Johnson County in this?
Exactly.
They never pay for anything.
Nothing.
You know, it all falls on Jackson County.
They might go to Clay County.
Now, Clay County did help Jackson County with the zoo tax, and I voted for that back in the day because I like the Kansas City Zoo and I love all the improvements.
They do a good job out
there. They do a great job. Clay County's on board with us on that.
Yeah.
Not Johnson County. Yeah. Not Wyandotte County. You know, maybe it's time for us to share some of the burden.
Let's do a bi-state tax?
Right.
Yeah, like a bi-state tax increase?
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that happens. But for now, any bill that comes out of the Jackson County legislature that puts any kind of a tax increase or continuation of a tax on the ballot, I say we all band together and vote no.
Until they can prove to us that they need it.
I'm definitely voting no.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the good news, if there's always some good news. There's always a silver lining. We do have a giant Ferris wheel. The thing's been up forever, by the way.
Yeah, it's been it's been going for a while.
And the lights work on it. Because
finally.
They've worked for a while.
Yeah.
When I drive in like at 2:30 in the morning or whatever, they've got a light show going on. They've had it going on forever.
Well, I come in at 8:30 and sometimes I'd come in and only like half the lights were working. So maybe they're working on them. Yeah.
Well, it failed its initial inspection.
Of course it did.
I'm not a Ferris wheel. I'm terrified
of heights.
Are you afraid of heights?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I hate them because it takes so long to get. You go around like once or twice, and it takes 20 minutes to load people on and off.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
And what are you seeing? I mean, I guess if you turn, because the Ferris wheel, to me anyway, it's aimed at the Argentine district.
Yeah.
So is there anything in the Argentine district that we want to see?
No. Well, they say you can see a 360 view, but you can also go to the top of the War Museum. And
I'm not doing that either. I'm terrified of heights.
Yeah.
But yeah, your point, though, you could get the same view from the top of that.
And you can spend as much time up there and look around and go,
Yeah. So, I'm not riding the Ferris wheel.
You can play mini golf there.
Right.
Yeah.
We got that going for us.
Yeah. Just take a bulletproof vest.
So. I am wondering
which
one of those cars is going to get shot out first. Because the other thing I drive by every morning is the old Kansas City Star building.
Yeah.
And usually there's like a piece of wood covering one
Some
of the
plywood,
old windows because of the gunfire going on there. But other than that, things are really good here. That's it. All right. Again, we want to thank Bob Watson, State Farm agent for 5 decades in Blue Springs. Been taking care of Eastern Jackson County, actually both sides of State Line Road. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. Surprisingly great rates with State Farm, and Bob Watson and his team will get you lined up. I don't know who you have for insurance, Tracy. I've always been a State Farm guy.
Yeah, we actually have Allstate, but we're actually shopping around.
There are companies out there that you get a tremendous rate, or so it looks like on paper, and then when you need them, when the rubber hits the road,
exactly,
you call the number and you get somebody who English is like their fourth language.
Well, I had to add Miranda to my car insurance, and I thought I was calling my agent, and I did not get my agent. I got some call center guy, and
exactly.
He had no idea what we were talking about, and it was horrible.
Well, when you use my guy, Bob Watson, you get a great staff right there in Blue Springs, and English is their first language.
Oh, I love that.
And they'll take care of you with auto, home, life, commercial insurance. When we get to warmer weather, they do boats. They do pet insurance.
Oh.
That's a big deal now.
I have two Frenchies, so I might have to give them a phone call.
Have you been to the vet lately?
Yes, actually.
It ain't cheap.
No, it's
call
not.
Bob Watson and get a quote. 816-229-7878. 816-229-7878. Now, before we leave you, and again, if Kurt were here and we were doing this on video and all that, I would have a video to show, at least I think.
Able to show that?
Did you Google it?
I did. I didn't see the video, but I saw some artist renditions.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you have to know that the podcasting world is the wild, wild west.
Right.
We've dropped F-bombs on this thing. We've had all kinds of fun stuff on here. So I'm not scared of this. I am a little concerned, though, that a video has emerged of two men having sex in the Hart Senate hearing room where many historic hearings have taken place. They might want to get some pledge or something in there. Or,
get a black light.
Don't get a black light. Get in there and clean and disinfect and do whatever you need. An aide to Maryland Democrat Senator Ben Cardin has been fired. Apparently, he was one of the people engaging in the sex. First of all, if you're going to do that, really?
Yeah.
There?
They have no respect for our historic. Those are our buildings.
I know.
They're not their buildings. We own those buildings.
I mean, there are people still awaiting trial from the January 6th thing who had the temerity to walk into the building.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think they had sex in the building. So you've got that going there. But really, I mean, don't they have apartments, back seats of cars, parks? I mean, there
honestly,
are a lot of options.
If you're, go to the bathroom. You get a little bit more privacy. Don't do it. Could you imagine going back into that room and sitting there knowing that a guy was on all fours and...
Is that what it looked like? Because I didn't look at the video.
Well,
Tracy, do tell me. You said there are diagrams?
Yeah, there was one of
Please
those like
share.
Little cartoons.
Don't turn red. Now turn. Just share the...
It was one of those cartoons of like that you get from like a jury.
Yeah.
And the guy was apparently on all fours and...
on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the next Senate hearing in the Hart Senate hearing room.
I'd be like, I'm not sitting on that side of the room. Thank you.
Exactly not. All right. And I'll leave you with this question for this week of Dale Carter's America. Who held the camcorder?
Let's hope they had a tripod.
Oh, Tracy. Tracy, thank you for spending the time with us on the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Kurt will be back before you know it. He's taking some paternity leave there.
Taking care of the new baby.
Taking care of baby Noah. He'll be back with us before you know it. And so will we. So in the meantime, we wish you a Merry Christmas, New Year.
We can say Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Or Happy Holidays, if that makes you feel better.
No, Merry Christmas.
Until next time, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.